Hi, everybody. This is Karen Hartglass. You're listening to just another episode of It's All About Food. Today, I'm speaking with Kathy Davis of Veg Inspired. And we all need inspiration, don't we? Yeah. Whether you're someone like me, I like to say a seasoned vegan who's been vegan for how long is it since 1988, 33 years, or someone who's just toying with the idea or just thinking about making a dish for someone you know is vegan and you're just sticking your toe in the water, we always need inspiration. So let's welcome Kathy and talk about Veg Inspired.
Thanks, Karen. I'm excited to be here. And I do agree, we all need a little inspiration when it comes to veggies and just anything, really.
Life is hard.
Yeah,
that's all I have to say. I'm really curious to hear about you and your story. I know you do some coaching, you write recipes. More and more in my personal life, I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older, we're all getting older, but I know a lot of people that I associate with, friends and colleagues, are experiencing more chronic diseases and depression. And I always feel like, hey, everybody, come over here. I'm the light. I've got all the answers for you. And believe it or not, there's no deprivation. It's delicious. Come on. And in some ways, it's getting harder and harder. Some people just, I don't know, they're too far gone or what it is. I'm not sure. So I'm really interested to hear your experience and your insights because I need a few more tricks in my toolbox.
Awesome. Well, absolutely. So I'll just start by telling everybody a little bit about myself. And if you're listening and you're like, I don't know about this plant-based thing, hold on, just stay with us. Because 8 years ago when my husband introduced the idea of us going plant-based, I was extremely resistant. So if you're one of those people that Karen was talking about, that you've got the illnesses, you're curious, but you're still resistant, you're still a little scared, I'm here for you. Like, I understand that. And I was resistant I really thought I was going to be giving things up. I really thought I was going to be missing out. And what I found over the last 8 years is the food on the plant-based side is amazing. I'm eating more variety, more flavors, more delicious meals than I ever really ate as an animal-based or standard American eater. And what really changed for me was when I allowed myself to try it and I experimented with familiar plant-based foods, I realized I wasn't giving anything up. I was just replacing and reframing the way things looked on my plate. And the more plant-based meals I ate, the more recipes I tried, the more of the colorful foods and the better I felt, the easier it was to limit those non-plant-based items. And then it was a little bit more and a little bit more. And the next thing I knew, I was craving and wanted the plant-based items. And now it's a way of life. But that was an 8-year journey. It was, you know, about 6 to 8 months till I truly went plant-based. And then I dabbled in a lot of the vegan foods. And about 2.5 years ago, I cleaned up the way that I ate to follow a more whole food plant-based way of eating. One, you know, that type of eating is really the type of eating that starts to support the reversal of those common standard American illnesses. Things like diabetes, cancer, all the research shows that more whole foods and less processed, less animal products, less of those high inflammatory, high cholesterol foods can really, really be a benefit from those medical illnesses and chronic diseases that people are fighting.
Don't forget how you felt when the idea of eating vegan was proposed to you. I would even write it down if you haven't already. Don't try and really feel those feelings because I was really young when I went vegetarian and then later went vegan. And it's always been easy for me. I don't see animals as food. Boom, period. And I try to relate to people who struggle, and I have to admit, it's hard for me, especially because I started so young. So I like to hear and understand people's struggles in that transition. I know we are also manipulated in our culture with foods, and so many of the industrial foods are designed to make it difficult for us not to eat them and want to eat them more and more. You can't eat just one.
Definitely.
Okay, so what was it that inspired, we're going to use that word a lot, that inspired your husband to suggest you eat vegan?
He read two contradictory articles in one magazine and was like, we need to check out this plant-based thing. And I remember, I mean, you really are articulating those words. It was a fear. I was so afraid of how I would live my life. How would I go to my family's house when they still ate animal products? Like, how would that all work? And so his inspiration for eating this way led to us trying, like I said, more of these plant-based meals. And the more I tried those meals, the more I let myself learn about the animals. And It's once you start to learn, and once you really kind of internalize it, I'm like you, I don't see animal products as food. So I wouldn't say now that I'm even tempted by animal products. Where I really can relate to the struggle for people is the processed vegan foods. Even after 2.5 years of making plant-based, whole food plant-based eating, my day-to-day habit, my day in and my day out, I still love Oreos. So it's more about becoming empowered, right? And for those of you listening, Oreos are in fact vegan. So what in the heck is that cream if it's not dairy? That's just a question I always pose. But when I think about my meals, I think about them being inspired by the rainbow, being inspired by this nourishing, healthy, amazing way of eating. And you know, you posed the question, or you made the comment, like, don't forget how you felt when the idea was proposed. Also encourage people, don't forget how you feel when you start eating plant-based and you start to feel amazing. And you're like, I didn't know I could feel this good. I didn't know that my digestion could be so good. And you start to reap the benefits of eating these whole clean plant foods or these vegan foods. And you're like, wow, I didn't know I could feel so good, because that also becomes just a way of life when you eat this way. And oftentimes you can forget how bad you felt before exactly. You went plant-based.
In some ways, it's a blessing about pain that you cannot remember. You can remember the experience, but you can't remember the feeling of the pain. And I don't want people to I don't want people to remember pain, but really describing how you feel. And sometimes that's a hard thing to do if it's the way you've always felt or the way you felt for a long time. And then as the change is happening, really remember and acknowledge those changes, because as soon as you're feeling more energetic, it's so easy to forget, oh, did I really feel sluggish?
Definitely.
And yeah. Journaling is a good thing to do during any change, right?
I was just going to say one of the tools that I use with my clients is to have them journal how they feel, both when they eat the whole plant foods and they feel really great and they're really energized, and also when they go off track, when they eat something unaligned. You know, how did that veggie burger and fries? Like I said, it may not be that they're going off track and eating animal products, but they might be eating a really processed food. How did that make you feel? How did your body respond to that? And if it's like, you know, if you can sandwich those foods, pun intended, sandwich those unaligned foods with your goals, with the foods that align, you may find that by doing that, you don't feel as bad. Maybe you do eat oatmeal for breakfast, you have that veggie burger and fries, and then you eat a nice big potato, broccoli, you know, vegan queso-y kind of sauce, and you've sandwiched that less than healthy meal with these really good bookend kind of, you know, healthy whole plant foods. And that kind of soaks it up and you don't feel so bad. But some people, what happens is they order pizza and then they eat leftovers for 3 days and they're like, I don't understand why I don't feel good. And I'm like, Probably because you ate pizza for 5 meals in a row.
Yeah, pizza. Some people, when they're transitioning, will not feel amazing right away. And there's this detox thing, which is very individual. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. And one of the things that I've told people is a lot of times people, when they go cold turkey, they experience a pretty significant detox. And as you said, it's very individualized. Some people don't notice it. And other people are, you know, it's just years of eating these foods. Foods like cheeses and dairy products have highly addictive properties. Casomorphine is included in all of those, especially in cheese. And so a lot of times we'll find that people who are transitioning away from animal products can feel really ill, or their microbiome in their gut, like in your intestines, has to adapt to this new way of food that you're feeding it. And people are like, oh, well, I don't feel so good. I feel this like awful detox, or I have this headache, or I just can't get this to go away, or I'm really gassy. That happens a lot. And I'm like, it's your body adjusting. And a lot of times people will say, oh my gosh, plant-based foods, they just don't taste the same. Well, your taste buds will adjust. And so one of the things that I always recommend to people is add more familiar foods. You know, when you're making this transition, don't run out and buy tofu and tempeh and all these weird ingredients that you've never had before. Eat more of the familiar foods. Increase the starches that you're eating, the potatoes, the oatmeal, maybe a whole grain cereal. Increase the vegetables that your body already likes, that your body already is used to, that you like. You know, people will say to me, I don't love spinach, I can't go plant-based. And I'm like, there's dozens of other greens. Like, you don't have to eat spinach, eat romaine lettuce, just eat more veggies, eat more plants. You know, I don't love cucumbers, I probably can't go plant-based. I'm like, you can eat all the other veggies. You don't have to like cucumbers. Like, really don't let those little things be the excuse that holds you back. Allow yourself the flexibility to just eat more plants, really giving your body those whole plant foods to help it start to align and to help the microbiome, the little gut bacterias, learn that this is the food you're going to be feeling. And then the other piece I always tell people is drink a lot more water. Mm. When you switch to a plant-based diet, you're eating a whole lot more fiber, which you need. You know, people always joke, oh, well, where do you get your protein? And I want to respond with, lovingly, of course, where do you get your fiber? Because people don't, the studies show that most people don't get enough fiber, which means they're not, you know, moving food through their digestive tract fast enough, which is why they tend to feel yucky and lethargic and less energetic, because the food's not moving and they're just really working their digestive system so hard.
The plant kingdom is vast. And like you said, if you don't like one vegetable, there are so many others out there. I do have a friend that we're working on, and he just says, I don't eat vegetables, period. But I have to believe there's got to be one that's not going to be so problematic. But there are some people, no matter how old they are, they're still 5 years old in their head. I don't eat vegetables. And, you know, we can help people, but we can't help everyone. And I say we can help people, but we're all responsible for helping ourselves, right?
Definitely. And really, you know, there's the beauty of plant-based eating is that there's so many options. And if you are somebody who didn't eat a lot of variety with vegetables, don't feel like you need to add all of these strange vegetables in. Eat the potatoes, eat the corn, eat the green beans, eat the carrots, eat the things that you're used to eating. Don't make yourself feel like you have to eat all these odd vegetables. Like, you don't have to start with Brussels sprouts or beets. You know, start with simple vegetables that you already eat. That's like my rooftop message is just eat familiar foods, eat more of the plants that you're already eating. And I get this a lot. People will come to me and be like, oh gosh, vegan plant-based is so expensive. Well, it does look expensive when you're standing in front of the dairy case. And on the left side is all the plant-based dairy with the packages priced anywhere from $5 to $10.
Yeah.
And the animal-based stuff that's, you know, has its own monetary way of making it less pricey, is over there at like $3.99 or buy two for $5. Of course it looks expensive, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about eating beans and rice and potatoes and vegetables and fruits and things that are grown locally and things from the freezer section and not the, the high processed foods that are $10 a batch or $8 for to serve two. I'm talking about, you know, veggie burgers and things that you, that are as close to nature intended and really leaning into those budget friendly items.
Now, when your husband and you started on this journey, what were the biggest challenges?
The biggest challenge always is other people. It's easy when it's just us, right? It's easy when it's just us, you know, in our little kitchen cooking for ourselves. But when you introduce family, when you introduce friends, when you're going to social engagements, when you're going out to restaurants, whenever somebody else is involved, that's the challenge. And people will always say to me, like, what was the hardest part? And I'm like, in the beginning, the hardest part was changing my mindset around food. But now the hardest part is watching people eat food and not realizing or not caring, I don't know which, that that's what's causing all these illnesses. For me, it was like, wait, I can stop eating animal products and never have diabetes that runs in my family. Because the research shows that it may not really run in your family. What runs in your family is the way you eat, right? We inherit our family's generational food choices because that's what was always cooked for us. So I'd say that's the hardest
part. People don't want to believe it though. Some people don't want to or can't. You know, I'm in my own head. I'm not in anyone else's head. So I have no idea which wires are firing and doing what. I have no idea, but the evidence is there. I don't do it anymore, but when I was younger, I used to print out piles and piles and piles of reports and like hand them over to someone near and dear to me and say, it's all here. You don't believe it? Here it is. And still, you know, they didn't want to read it. And sometimes I'll recommend a book or buy a book and give it to someone. It is all there, but there's something in us, in some of us, that don't want to believe it. And I think some of it has to do with, I like to say it takes courage to change. It takes courage to adopt a vegan diet because it's our foundation, what we were brought on, what we were nurtured on. When we learn that it's false, that it's built on lies, that it doesn't nurture us. When the floor is falling out, that's a scary feeling.
That's it though. And people don't make changes like this, lifestyle changes. Our actions are built on a set of beliefs, and those beliefs are, you know, what we learned in school, what we were told, like milk does a body good. And, you know, the only way to get protein is animal products. And so until you are willing to confront those old beliefs and really shift your mindset to this new way, this new potential opportunity, you know, a lot of times people are looking just for the band-aid solution. It's easier to take the medications. It's easier to just eat the way that I've always been eating and have the surgeries and all of that. But the studies, it's proven, like you said, piles and piles of countless research that eating as close to nature intended, these plant-based, these vegan diets that are healthy and nourishing can really change the way that your body responds to foods and really make a healthier off, you know, make your lifestyle healthier. Longevity, energy, productivity, all of that is proven with this way of eating. But I think it's twofold, right? There's a level of fear. So there is that courage required. And there's a level of that mindset shift. Like, are we willing to make this change? And in the beginning, I didn't know that I was willing. I was afraid too. I didn't want to try beans. I didn't like beans. I didn't want to try Brussels sprouts. Like, I was like, we can eat tacos, but they're going to be made out of potatoes and not that tofu stuff. I don't want to try that. And so I keep going back to the familiar foods, but if you start to like more of these plant foods and you start to see the benefits, then it almost is just as eye-opening as reading a study and the courage to take the step. Even if the step is small, it's just that step towards this healthier path.
I have some dots swimming around right now and I'm trying to connect them. So I'm not quite sure where this is going to go. But first, I want to say that this idea of society being one of the biggest challenges to deal with transitioning, I went vegan in a foreign country. I had to go to a completely different country to do it. It was convenient. I was working for an Israeli company and I thought, okay, I've been wanting to really dump the dairy for a long time and I'm going to be in Israel for 3 months. This is where I can do it. I know there will always be hummus. And I know that the society, even though they're not vegan, they know about food. They know how to separate. They know what has animal, what has dairy. And so this might be a good place to do it. And it was very easy. And now Israel is one of the fastest growing vegan centers. So there's that. But this whole societal thing, when I started as a vegan decades ago, and this is still today, there's this connotation that vegans just eat brown rice and vegetables. I was talking about this last week. And it was like a bad thing. But brown rice and vegetables is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And then, so what we vegans had to do over time is prove that we could make anything. We could make practically any kind of dish so that there was no sacrifice, no deprivation. And in that journey, we've come up with so many processed vegan foods that are not good for us. So I'm, like I said, I'm kind of having a little light bulb go off and a discovery here. How did we get down this path? Because I'm always talking about how our plant-based movement was co-opted by these big investors who want to take advantage of this movement. Okay.
Oh, this is like, get me up on a platform, get me on my soapbox now, Karen. So one of the big things that I found is it totally, plant-based has totally been hijacked by the marketing industry. I mean, you can go and get a plant-based Whopper. Now, I know that those of you listening, you're like, well, that's awesome that there's a plant-based Whopper. And I agree. Like, that means that we can go to, it's mainstream, right? Like you can go to a fast food restaurant and you can eat plant-based. But we also know that a Whopper's not healthy. So if you make that as daily part of your diet, it's the same type of fast food, that same oil, fat, salt, sugar, junk that you're feeding your body. And, you know, when we think about what it really, like, there's two sides to the coin, right? Vegan for the animals, vegan for the environment. It's an ethical decision. Plant-based, whole food, plant-based, plant-centric. You know, I mean, the Mediterranean diet is not vegan, but it's very plant-centered. So you have this two sides of a coin, vegan for ethics, plant-based, plant-centered, plant-focused, whole food plant-based for health. But when you start to look at the way that it's marketed, it all just kind of jumbles in together. Mm-hmm. And then you have the other side of it too, where vegan has a very aggressive sometimes connotation where people are like, there's a vegan here. Don't talk about that. And it's like, or you could be like, oh, here's some veggies and hummus. Like it's no big deal. Like it's just the way that I choose to eat and live my life. And when it becomes your new normal, you don't see yourself as the odd one out. But when you're in these social situations, when you're in this, you know, you're at a restaurant and you're like, do you have a vegan menu? And they're like, vegan menu, we've got gluten-free. And you're like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. It starts to take on this different, you know, this, it's like a different pathway that you're following. And one of the big things that I try to tell people is stop reading labels. Like don't get into the plant-based marketing that's out there. There are thousands of processed foods that you can eat that are vegan, that you can read the labels all day long. It's there. They're labeled. They're out there. They're great for transitioning. But on a day-to-day basis, stick with the potatoes, stick with the beans, stick with the pasta, stick with the veggies, the fruits, the oats, the nuts, the seeds, the grains, like really stick closer to nature intended. And don't, you know, I always tell people, like, there's a difference between those granola bars you see where you can see all the ingredients in it, maybe a trail mix, something like that. And then a super processed vegan granola bar that has some kind of weird goo in the middle that's just loaded with sugar, and they've taken all the health benefits out of the flour that they mixed it with. And people are like, wait, so is that vegan or not? And I'm like, well, it might be vegan, but what's your goal? Are you trying to eat for health? You probably need to eat something that has some nutrient density, right? The whole food, the whole flours, the whole grains, the whole fruits, and not these uber processed, salt loaded, fat loaded, sugar loaded ingredients and foods that are on the market.
I know we can't go backwards, but even if I did go back in time, I don't even know how we would have done things differently.
You know, the beauty though, I suppose, with all of it is it just means that veganism is on trend, right? These huge marketing companies, these huge manufacturers, they're like, there are enough people that want to eat vegan that we need to have vegan ice creams and vegan donuts and vegan processed foods. But again, it goes back to those, you know, that ice creams, donuts, and processed cookies and crackers and all that stuff aren't healthy, whether they're vegan or not. So it's really more about eating that cleaner whole food most of the time.
Most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Most of the
time. Okay, very good. Now, a big issue on the planet today is weight loss, especially in this country. People are very large. And it's so sad because people are consuming all these empty calories, putting on a lot of weight, and they're never fed. And it's becoming more acceptable and mainstream somehow. We all want to fit in. Yet the answers are so simple. And especially in COVID days, and there's more and more evidence that shows a whole food plant diet even protect us against being ravaged by COVID. It's still so hard to put the message out there.
It is hard to put the message out there. And it really comes back to being to people wanting to change and taking the time to learn that you don't have to spend 75 hours like the Instagram influencer that you're looking at their plates online to cut everything in 17 different shapes and make it pretty. Like, y'all, I love Instagram. I am over there, veg inspired. I am like rocking it with my colorful meals, but you don't have to do what I do necessarily to eat more plants. You can just chop up your veggies however you want. You can buy pre-chopped veggies. Like, you can make it just as easy and as fast as you want it to be. You know, I tell people, like, my favorite meal is either pre-cooked or quick cooking brown rice, a can of black beans that's been rinsed, some guacamole, some pico, and some spinach from the produce section. Yeah, I love to make pico de gallo at home and to make guacamole at home, but that doesn't mean I always have time. Like, just make it simple. And if you really want to get fancy, you can grab some frozen corn out of the freezer and you can add that. And it's like a cute little burrito bowl, maybe a little cilantro, a little lime, easy peasy. It does not have to be hard. And I think that's what's happened is we've got all these instant gratifications. We've got, you know, you can go to fast food. You can heat this in the microwave in 30 seconds. You can, you know, we're so satisfied by flipping through and seeing all these pretty meals on our phone. But when we go into our kitchen, we're like, well, what do I cook now? We got to cook foods that are easy. Like, we got to just make it simple. And that's, I think we've, as an influencer, I think we've made it so difficult for people to see it as easy, because we want our pictures to be visually appealing. And so we don't show easy meals, right? We show these complicated avocado roses and all this fancy stuff. And that's not how I eat on a day-to-day basis.
I don't think I've seen an avocado rose.
Just a fancy way to cut the avocado. But again, the at-home chef's not cutting the avocado like that. When I want avocado on my food, I'm not cutting it like that unless I'm taking a picture of it.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
Right?
Well, in this world of highly industrialized processed food, we also get the benefit of having all kinds of fresh and frozen food available to us. Frozen foods are amazing. I take advantage, especially now. As my listeners know, for the last 8 weeks, I've been in Wisconsin. I've been traveling. Some of it, I've been in a hotel. I've been in the actor's house with a kitchen, but the kitchen isn't really welcoming to me because it's crowded, it's full of other people's stuff, and I just want to get in and get out and not take up much space and clean up my stuff and go. So I have really kept things so simple. And plus, I haven't had a lot of time. Whereas when I'm at home, just like you, Kathy, I'm like making complicated dishes and photographing things just because it's what I do and it's what I love to do.
Fun, right? That's what we love to do.
But I have, you know, I've been preaching so many things for so long. I'm actually practicing some of the things that I've preached. But I make the simplest and fastest and most nourishing, delicious foods right now. I am so full of gratitude that I am able to get organic mixed greens. I am able to get organic berries. And I brought a lot of stuff with me. So things have been really easy and simple. And I've been buying the organic frozen vegetables. I've been making these big bowls with corn and maybe some edamame. I cook up some black beans and a whole grain. And if I can find a reasonably priced avocado, I will get it. A little chopped raw onion. And it doesn't take any time. So there's all of that. And the benefit is it's the best food to eat all the time. And I crave it.
And that's the thing. As your body starts to adjust to you eating more clean foods, you will crave them. You will want those, that broccoli. Like, I can't tell you how many times I'm like, oh, we're out of lettuce. We got to get lettuce. Like, I'm craving a salad. I would have never said that pre-vegan. I would have been like, I need a burger. Give me a burger. But now I'm like, oh, I'm craving a salad with a yummy dressing. So if, you know, if you, some tips I always have is learn a couple of good sauces that whip up maybe without a blender, because sometimes on those busy weeknights, we don't want to dig the Vitamix out. Right. So just learn some sauces that are easy. Like, for takeaways for people, like learn a couple of quick meals, just like Karen's talking about, using frozen vegetables. They're picked at their peak season and then flash frozen. So they're always perfectly delicious. And that's really what we want. We want the best tasting foods, and we can get them when we utilize both frozen, you know, frozen or locally grown as the summer season starts to come about.
So now I want to get to this part of this conversation that I think people will find fascinating. And you just mentioned you may not want to take the Vitamix out. Now, I don't have a big kitchen, but the Vitamix is always on the counter. Okay. And we use it like 5 times a day, but I've been living without it because I'm traveling. I don't have one. You can live without it, but it's nice to have it. But some people don't have a lot of space. Now, I live in New York City, and a lot of people are in very tiny studio apartments, for example. And then some people might live in an RV like you.
Yes, yes, we do. We do.
How did that get started, and how long have you been doing it? Tell us about your adventures.
Absolutely. Yeah. So about 4 years ago, my husband and I stumbled upon, you know, the idea of selling our house and moving into an RV and traveling the United States. We really love to travel. We love to go to, you know, big cities, different locations, national parks, hiking, biking. Like, we just loved all of it. And what we found was double income, no kids, living in a beautiful townhouse, 2 cars, great jobs. We were bound to all of that. Vacation time was limited. When we did take time off, we wanted to see our families who didn't live very close to us. So we would take long weekends to go see them. We just found that that timing was, our life was kind of going away. And so 3.5 years ago, we listed our house to be sold. We sold our house in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That's where we, that was our last address, was outside of Pittsburgh. And we bought a fifth wheel RV. We'd never really had an RV, never camped like this. Like, nothing, we camped, but not like this. This is more like luxury living on wheels, if I have to be honest. And we picked one that had a really great kitchen, and we moved our cats into our RV, and we hit the road. We've been everywhere from Pennsylvania all the way to Key West, all the way out to Glacier National Park in Montana, all the way down to southwestern Texas, and we're headed to Maine this summer. And we've been all over the United States visiting cities and national parks and friends and family, and really being able to live this adventurous life on the road. But what you're getting at is space. So we have probably more space than most RVs because we really did downsize with cooking as our like main, one of our main hobbies outside of like the outdoor activities. And so the inside space is pretty much, you know, kitchen. We don't really watch a lot of TV, so we didn't bring movies and all that stuff. And so we have a little more space than most people, but we don't have a dishwasher. We couldn't bring every kitchen gadget. So we really had to learn what were those multi-use tools. The Vitamix is one of them, but we can't store that on the counter, especially when we move. And we move about once a month, I would say on average, sometimes faster than, sometimes our stays are shorter. Sometimes our stays are longer, but for the most part, we move about once a month. And so when you really think about that, like if I can do this living in an RV, going to different grocery stores every week for groceries for the last almost 4 years, it's really doable for people who have access to any grocery store, right? We had tiny little grocery stores outside of these national parks and little podunk towns in the Midwest that didn't even have tofu. And we not only did we cook this way, but I also authored 3 cookbooks living this lifestyle on the road.
Oh, and you have your cats with you.
Yes, we have. Well, we only have one. We started with 2 senior cats and a kitten. And so we only have our little baby. He's not a kitten. He's like 9, but he seems like a baby kitty compared to the other 2. So we only have him left. The other 2 were well-traveled senior cats that crossed the rainbow bridge in the last year. But we do have a little cat that sometimes makes an appearance in our videos.
Okay. That's just fascinating because the cats that I know don't like to travel and they like things to be the same.
Well, the one thing that they do love is they love that the house is the same. They do, however, love to look out the windows and see what the view is. So they've started to appreciate the different views and the birds and the different animals that we see. There's always a random stray cat in campgrounds. I don't know if that's just a thing, but every now and then it'll come up and peek in our window and make googly eyes at our cat. So it's just random things along the way.
So you've been making your recipes and photographing them and sharing them all from this space in your RV.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can everybody appreciate that? You have like, no excuses, everybody. No excuses.
If 310 square foot.
If you could do it in a tiny space like an RV, wow, you're living a dream. So a lot of people talk about doing things like this and they never get around to it. But you started before the pandemic?
We started before the pandemic. We also work from the RV. So my husband works for a software company and then I run Veg Inspired and the Eat More Plants Academy. So I run my own business. So we work, so we're not retired. We're not, you know, we're putting in, we're working, we work our day jobs and then we adventure on the weekends, but it's the most amazing decision that we could have ever made. We did stay put for about 8 months during the pandemic at a campground that was centrally located so that we could get to our families if we needed to, but it was, you know, we were outside, like we weren't around people. We were pretty much quarantined in our little house. Our little house on wheels while we traveled.
Yeah, well, you started at the right time because the price of RVs went up.
Because everybody wants to RV. Everybody wants to RV, get outside and explore the national parks. We did notice a pretty big increase in park visits as along our travels too. It was just more people touring the U.S.
But some parks were closed for a long time too. Yes. Did that make it hard for you?
We stayed put for a while, so we didn't really experience that. It wasn't until after things started to open that we started moving again.
And do you think you'll settle down again?
Maybe eventually, but my husband and I are both like, this is amazing. We're going to go as far as we can see. And when we get there, we'll be able to see further and decide what to do. But we love it. We love that we can go and stay near our family for a couple of months and immerse ourselves in like their life and the day to day and, you know, get to know our nieces and nephews and just really, you know, be part of people's lives again. Whereas when we were living in Pittsburgh, we weren't close enough to be able to do that. It was a quick weekend trip. Sometimes we'd see both families in one weekend. So it might be a night here and a night there. And now we just can travel and explore and people can come visit us. And it's just incredible.
I was just talking last week about my experiences shopping in grocery stores around here. It's certainly very different than New York City in this small town that I'm in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering what you've seen across the country. Now, for me, I'm way at the end of the spectrum where not only do I eat whole food, plant-based, vegan, exclusive, but it's almost 100% organic. And that adds another level of complexity, especially in places like this where I'm not near a Whole Foods or health food store. But I'm finding that there are more organic foods available, maybe not a big variety, but I'm getting the greens and I'm getting the berries and I'm grateful for that. So what have you found?
So we're just as far along the end of that spectrum as you. We are whole food plant-based, but we didn't start out this trip whole food plant-based, or this adventure whole food plant-based. Mm-hmm. When we left Pittsburgh 3.5 years ago, we were vegan, mostly whole food. We still ate a lot more of the vegan processed foods. And what we found originally was in order to access a lot of those foods, we had to hit up either a really big grocery store or a Whole Foods. Now that we're whole food plant-based, mostly unprocessed, we can get just about every food item that we want, beans, potatoes, fruits, vegetables, even our tahini is available at Walmart. I mean, I don't love shopping at like these conglomerate stores, but when your favorite tahini is available at Walmart, like that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
The smaller grocery stores definitely have less organic. There are some times when we've had to compromise on organics just because of what was available, but most of the foods that we eat are available at every grocery store because we don't eat a lot of those processed vegan foods. So we don't care if they carry vegan cheese or vegan burgers because we'll just grab some black beans and buzz up our own veggie burger. So when you start to eat as close to nature intended, your access at grocery stores changes. There are some grocery stores that do have a whole organic line that has made eating organic much easier. And then there's, like I said, some grocery stores where it was like, you're pretty much going to either make your own beans or you're not going to eat a bean because they didn't have tofu. It was really kind of the options were less, but it was doable and it didn't require us to rely on a Whole Food. So we have obviously been able to eat and shop across the country. And honestly, I love the little grocery stores that have, you know, their own organic line or that bring in an organic line and being able to support them because that allows that to create a demand in those little markets. The other thing that we really try to do is support local. So if we can buy, you know, local breads from a bakery or local produce from a community supported agriculture or a farm stand, we will pick that option versus, you know, your local conglomerate grocery store.
We're a culture today that is obsessed with delivery, home delivery. So do you get home deliveries at your RV?
Not often. I mean, we do rely on Amazon for some things and we'll just have to ask the campground if they accept packages. Typically I'm a huge meal planner, so I can usually plan. And in the heart of the pandemic, we would actually plan for a month at a time and relying, like you said, on frozen organic vegetables. We do have a decent sized RV fridge and freezer. So it's not super tiny. It's a little bit bigger, which allowed us to have like a stash of those frozen vegetables and really use those for, you know, the vegetable servings of our dish. We don't really rely on delivery very often. If we choose to eat at a vegan restaurant or because we're, you know, traveling the country, like we can go to amazing vegan restaurants. We try to eat the as close to nature intended even there. But we're not perfect. We really do teach, that's what I teach in my program, is intention and creating that level of empowerment where you are able to make the choice on the foods that you eat. And that's the beauty of, you know, being in a position where you're eating as close to nature intended, these healthy whole plant foods most of the time. When you do go to a vegan restaurant and oh my gosh, they've got donut or they got a key lime cheesecake because you're in Key West and you can have a vegan key lime cheesecake, which you can never have anywhere else because it's from Key West. You're able to just eat unaligned and grab that treat or that dessert and not feel terrible. And that's, you know, I don't do delivery because I choose to eat when I'm not eating something, when I'm eating something that doesn't necessarily align with my day-to-day habits, I am going out of my way to make sure it's the best option I can eat, the tastiest, the most worth it kind of thing. So I'm not over here ordering a vegan Domino's. If we circle back to pizza, I'm not doing that.
Well, I'm thinking about myself, who's, as I said, at that far end of the spectrum, whole food, plant-based, organic. And I opted for bulk, buying in bulk and having things delivered, especially during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I was getting these 10-pound bags of beans, of different organic beans, and storing them in the closet and getting grains. And we have a pretty good freezer, so a lot of nuts and seeds went in there. And I still tend to get a lot of foods, dry foods delivered, but I have the space for it.
Right. We tend to not carry a lot. I mean, we do have some, you know, some food backed up, but we do tend, I mean, weight is always a concern in the RV, right? Cause you have to be for road safety. So we don't carry a lot of that stuff. We really have to pay closer attention to that as we're traveling.
So gas prices are going up. How are you dealing with that?
You know, that's one of the things that I told somebody the other day. They asked the same question. And I said, you know, we have a budget. We really did a lot of research before we hit the road in the RV and really made sure that, you know, it was how we would make it work. And one of the things that differs from RV life, now we have a fifth wheel, so we tow it with a big F-350 Ford diesel. So one of those things that we don't have control over with RV life that a lot of people do is our costs each month aren't fixed, right? Like we don't have a mortgage. We don't pay a rent that's the same every month. Like we move once a month. So every month so we always had that fluctuating, that's not the right word, that
variability.
We always had that variable budget. So this is just kind of allowing us to, we're on the end of the spectrum that's a little bit higher, but for us, it's not, you know, we just kind of pay attention to what those variables look like. You know, everything's going up, food prices are going up. I authored the budget friendly plant-based diet cookbook last year, and that came out in 2021, and already some of the prices have adjusted. So if budget friendly is really, you're like, oh gosh, I really need to stay under budget, you know, start to think about ways that you can do that. You know, look at ways to buy in bulk so that you're getting less, you know, you're paying less per pound or less per ounce or per unit. Look at ways that you can really leverage those lower cost items, those beans, those rices, those whole potatoes. Look at ways that you can support in your community. Maybe you have some community supported agriculture programs where you can do some volunteer work in exchange for a lower rate. Like start to look at ways that you can kind of offset your budget. The number one thing that I've found traveling the United States is I always take a couple of minutes to get the store grocery card. People, you know, we've got a whole keychain of all these different store cards. Mm-hmm. But it is can be a significant savings. And a lot of those grocery stores also sell fuel. And so you can get fuel perks. I remember we went into one store and it was like a 2-week grocery haul. We saved $40 in the store and then we filled up on fuel and saved $20 outside. So the 2 minutes of me signing up for their store card saved us $60 in one 2-week grocery haul and for a tank of fuel. Like that kind of savings across the year, if you did that every year that or every week, like that's a lot of money you could save. So if you're looking for ways to kind of do some cost savings, or you're worried about, you know, you're experiencing that you're, you know, again, where your rates aren't variable and you're like experiencing this push on costs, look at ways that you can reduce your budget. And one of those ways is to eat more whole foods as nature intended, which means less processing. Right? The more items, the more times that hands process something, the more expensive it tends to be.
Value added.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Well, I was very happy to join the local Pick and Save here in Wisconsin.
Yes.
and take advantage of all the benefits. Now, I'm getting all these fuel rewards and I'm not quite sure where I'm supposed to fill up. So I have to figure that one out. Mm-hmm. Because there isn't a gas station right there.
Sometimes they partner with a local gas station.
Yeah, I have just to figure depends. That out because I think I've got a lot of points now and I might get some gas.
Some cents off that gas. Absolutely.
Right. Every little bit helps.
Definitely.
All right. So here we are, Kathy Davis of Veg Inspired. What do people need to know about your website, veginspired.com?
Well, Karen, what I always like to do, because I'm a huge proponent in planning your meals. It allows you to create intention and advance decision-making ahead of time. So people always say, oh gosh, I don't know what to eat. I'm like, all right, let's take a step back. I've actually created for the listeners a quick and easy meal plan of recipes that their family will love. It has the recipes, it has the grocery list, it has the plan all for them. So I always like to tell people that that's the best place to really, you know, get an idea of what this way of eating looks like. What does it look like to eat as close to nature intended? What does it feel like? How does somebody navigate the grocery store? So this little encompassing gift has everything in it, and they can find it at veginspired.com/podcast. So that's a great gift for them. And like I said, I'm super active on Instagram. If they want to head over there, all three of my cookbooks are available on veginspired.com as well. Let's see. That's probably in a nutshell. You can also apply to work with me if you really want to take this to the next level and make this your lifestyle. All on veginspired.com.
Were there any books or people that inspired you when you first got started?
The first plant-based book that I read and the book that my husband really kind of lean into for our lifestyle is The Starch Solution. And I always recommend that book because it is the myth buster. Because so many people are like, no, I can't eat plant-based, carbs make you fat. And The Starch Solution pretty much tells you, you better eat carbs or your brain's not going to function. Like, our brain literally lives on glucose. And so many people are avoiding these unrefined whole food starches, like brown rice, potatoes, sweet potatoes, corn, the, you know, starchy squashes, things like that. I'm not talking about the donut. I'm talking about unrefined potatoes, brown rice, whole grains, things like that. So The Starch Solution really inspired me. And that's how I lost 40 pounds eating this way, is following that. So for me, eating this way has changed my life completely. 3 years ago, you would have been like, she is, you know, doesn't look like she has an energy. I was on the path to every American disease you could imagine. And I was eating vegan, but I was eating all the wrong vegan things. And so cleaning up my diet really changed my life. I've authored 3 cookbooks. I've lost over 40 pounds. I have more energy. I've hiked national park trails that I would have never been able to hike before. And it's changed my life for the better. And that's why I stand from the rooftops and tell people to eat more plants, because I saw the benefits and I just think it's powerful for everybody.
You're making me think people don't need to take a course in nutrition or major in nutrition to understand what's best to eat. But one of the things that frustrates me is that we mix up talking about food and talking about macronutrients. You'll see a recommendation, you'll see a plate, it says eat your vegetables, eat your fruits, and eat your protein. And that's wrong. There's macronutrients, protein, carbohydrates, and fat, and they are ideal and best from whole food, minimally processed plant foods. So that's the same for protein. That's the same for fats. And that's the same for carbohydrates. Saying that you should eat vegetables and then eat protein, or sometimes what people will say is lean protein, because they're afraid to say meat, but that's what they mean, because the bean is already lean.
And the bean is an amazing source of protein and starch. Like, it truly is the little perfect morsel. And I always
it has protein, carbohydrate, and fat. It's got it all.
It is all of these. And that's what I tell people, like, all of these whole foods, right? Whole foods, like the bean, the spinach, the broccoli, the oats, they're perfectly put together. They're not refined. Nobody unprocessed it to pull out the fat, right? Nobody unprocessed it to pull out the the starch for you. Like these are perfect little morsels of food that are exactly the nourishment that you need for your body. But we think that we need to, you know, pull just the protein out of the bean. That's not, no, just eat it as it was, just eat it as it, just eat the bean, just eat the vegetables.
Yeah. It's nuts and nuts. Eat nuts.
Eat nuts. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Kathy, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I always like to hear from like-minded people out there, wherever you are. Where are you right now?
Western New York.
Western New York. Beautiful.
Yeah. Beautiful. South of Buffalo. It's just, we said we got here early spring. So the leaves have all started to pop on the trees and we're experiencing 80 degree weathers this week. So it's really nice for those of us. Those of us who chase flip-flop weather, we really appreciate that temperature.
Well, I hope you're in a cool place this summer.
Maine. We're headed to Maine.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Yep.
You're doing this right. All right. Thanks. Once again, it's a pleasure talking to you, Kathy Davis of veginspired.com. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Karen. Bye, everybody.
Bye. You've been listening to It's All About Food. I'm Karen Hartglass. You can find me at responsibleeatingandliving.com. Send your comments and questions to info@realmeals.org. Everybody, have a delicious week.